Welcome to the Ministry Marks podcast. My name is Thomas Majors, and I'm joined by David Haynes.
Hey, Thomas. How you doing today, buddy?
But man, I'm excited.
Why are you excited?
Because of the convention. The convention's coming up.
The Southern Baptist Convention. You and I, Lord willing, will both be there, and we are excited about that.
So today, what we're going to do is talk about the Southern Baptist Convention and some issues related about the convention. We're going to talk about maybe what is going to be talked about, some reasons a church should go, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You know, and Thomas, whenever we think about the Southern Baptist Convention, people might think, oh, well, isn't that in Nashville, Tennessee? Isn't that where the SBC is headquartered in Nashville? So the convention always happens in Nashville, right? Well, no, not exactly. Yes, that is where the SBC, I think, is headquartered, is in Nashville. But no, the convention happens in different cities across America.
And sometimes it's confusing for Mississippi Baptists because our convention, the Mississippi Baptist Convention, happens every year beginning on the last Tuesday, usually the last Tuesday of October, and it's always in the same place, in the same city. This last year was the first time it's been moved in my recollection.
And that's right, because previously the Mississippi Baptist Convention was always at First Baptist Church Jackson, Mississippi.
Right.
Dude, that is a beautiful cathedral of a sanctuary, I would say. Oh, it's just gorgeous. And they moved it to, where'd they move it to? Broadmoor? Broadmoor Baptist Church. And we had such a good time out there at Broadmoor. Yeah.
But most state conventions move.
Like Tennessee.
Convention. Yes.
Yeah, Tennessee does what? West, Central, East. West, Central, East.
And Alabama does as well. They go North, Central, South with their convention meetings too. But Mississippi Baptist, always in Jackson.
It is always in Jackson. You know, and there's actually a reason why. So I've been blessed to be on some of the committees in Mississippi. And through the years, they've done things north, but the southern guys won't travel north, and they realize the northern guys will travel south. And so they always want to have big events on that I-20 corridor. So somewhere between Meridian and Jackson is what they want to do. And so whenever I heard that, my mind immediately went to this question, and I'll let you answer it. Since southern guys won't travel north, but northern guys will travel south, does that mean North Mississippi pastors are better than South Mississippi pastors?
It does mean that.
Of course it means that. And we are so glad that we are better than those in South Mississippi.
It means we really care about the work of the Mississippi Baptist Convention. We're willing to put our time and effort into it. We have
That's
lost...
Right.
That one person in the South who listens to this podcast.
He'll never listen again.
Turn it off. Scratch out on the thing.
Yep.
Yeah. That podcast is dead to me.
I wonder if we have a listener who was previously in North Mississippi and is now in South Mississippi, or previously they were in South Mississippi, now North Mississippi, do North Mississippi people go down to Jackson because it's a little bit of a getaway? Is that why? Is that why we like going to Jackson? You know, it's a couple of hours, 2.5 from where I live, 3.5 or so from where you live, 4 hours from some parts in North Mississippi. And I wonder if we like that drive down the Trace or like that drive down 55. And we look at it as a little getaway for just a few nights. And so maybe that's why North Mississippi guys attend the Mississippi Baptist Convention so well. Maybe, I don't know.
It could be, yeah. But the Southern Baptist Convention does move, and through the years, it's been at some very interesting places.
It has. I remember years ago, I remember hearing this before I was a pastor and before I was attending the Southern Baptist Convention. It was in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes.
What in the world are Baptists doing going to Las Vegas, Nevada?
What's funny, as I was talking to a deacon one time, and he said, yeah, our pastor went to the Southern Baptist Convention. We always give, you know, money for travel and expenses while they're doing that. We didn't think it was too odd that he asked for it in all in quarters. Of course, the deacon was
so
making
funny.
A joke, you know, that he was going
so
to gamble, but it was funny. It was funny.
All right. So where was the location of the first Southern Baptist Convention that you attended? Do you remember? I remember ours.
It may have been New Orleans.
Okay, may have been New Orleans for you. Okay. So for me and my wife, it was 2011, Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona. So we drove out, and in 2011, so I'm now really good buddies with David Hamilton. Like, he and I are close. We actually hope to have him on a podcast soon. We love and greatly respect David Hamilton.
Yes.
Back then, I was not buddies with David like I am now. And we had never been to a SBC before, and we really didn't know what to do. We were approaching this big convention center. We didn't know where to do. We didn't know how to get signed in. We didn't know where to go. And I look up and I see David Hamilton, and I'm like, Dr. Hamilton, Dr. Hamilton. And he turned around and recognized me and April, and he checked up, and we walked with him in, and he had already been, you know, received his registration as a messenger, and he was going to point us in the right direction. And as we're walking up, I want to do small talk with the Pope of Pontotoc County. And so I said, so how's First Baptist Church Pontotoc doing, thinking that's where he pastored? He pastors West Heights Baptist. I said, so how's First Baptist Pontotoc doing? He said, I don't have a clue. You're going to have to ask Ken Hester. Haynes, you're so stupid. So anyway, but that's when I started really getting close to David, his wife, Susan, and man, we've been friends with them for years and years now. But the first one we attended was Phoenix, Arizona. To that, we drove all the way to Phoenix, Arizona, man, had such a great time. We took a couple of days beforehand heading out, and then a few days afterwards, the Haynes family often would bootleg a vacation on to the Southern Baptist Convention. The church pays for us to go out there, pays for us to come back. We might take an additional 4, 5, 6 nights. We would pay for all that and all of their expenses and all of our time, but we would enjoy the place where the SBC was located. So
I think the first one for us, was it in New Orleans in 2010?
See, I don't know, because
2009, 2010.
I don't know.
I think it was, but I remember going to Phoenix too. We flew out to Phoenix and stayed. It was a beautiful city. We loved being at Phoenix. Then it was Baltimore.
Yeah, man, Baltimore is great on the harbor. It was gorgeous. Yeah.
Yes.
We went out to where the rampart, the Star Spangled Banner, you know, where you could look up on that. We saw all that stuff. Mm-hmm. We've been to Columbus, Ohio.
I did not go to that one, or Indianapolis.
We went to Indianapolis. April got food poisoning, wound up in the hospital. It was awful in Indianapolis. She plumb near died. That's how she tells it. I don't know. She only threw up 17 times. Who cares? So, now, did you go to Anaheim, California?
I did not.
No, that was in your years when you were not a pastor. You were at the college.
Yes.
Dude, Anaheim was out of this world. And April and I did a bootleg vacation where we rented a car and we just drove. We drove for 6 days, covered the coast of California, saw the redwood trees, saw Kings Canyon. Oh, it was unreal.
I bet
unreal.
That was nice. Now, the Southern Baptist Convention, when did it start?
So I believe it started, if memory serves me correctly, 1845, Augusta, Georgia is where it was first held.
So the Masters...
That's right.
Tournament is in Augusta, Georgia.
Yeah.
And the Southern Baptist Convention started
in Augusta, Georgia. It sure did. That's where
the Lord's Providence.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be. And did you know that a church in Mississippi has hosted the Southern Baptist Convention? Would you want to take a stab at the church?
I'm going to guess at it.
Okay.
Because you told me earlier what church it was.
I'm trying to make you look smart, man.
Sorry, I can't lie. Columbus, Mississippi.
That's right. First Baptist Church, Columbus, Mississippi. How I learned that is there is a historical marker in front of the old FBC Columbus location, and it recognizes when the Southern Baptist Convention met there in 1881. It was supposed to have met during the year 1863, but it had to be rescheduled due to the Civil War. It was a war that had broke out, and so it was rescheduled for 1881. Now, whenever I think of First Columbus, I think of Sean Parker. And Sean does not look that old, but he was the pastor during 1881.
Man, he has aged well.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, we did a little bit of research before this. I believe in that 1881 Southern Baptist Convention meeting at Columbus, Mississippi, there were only 247 voting delegates. So only 247. Thomas, how many delegates will we have like at this year's convention in Orlando?
This year in Orlando, being Orlando, there's a possibility we could have 15,000 messengers.
I completely agree. And I think there's a possibility of us having north of 20,000 total people there, 20, maybe even 25,000. Because see, your vendors may be good Baptist brothers and sisters who are set up doing vending things. So whenever you go to the SBC, we'll get into that in just a little bit. But there are many people who are not messengers of the church. Whenever April and I go to the Southern Baptist Convention as messengers of First Baptist Church, we have voting privileges. But there are many people who do not have the voting privileges that a messenger has. They're friends of the convention. They may hear the presentations. They may be in the services. They may be in the building, you know, the convention center as a whole. But there will probably be 12 to 15,000 voting messengers. And then I bet 5 to 10,000 others that'll be gathered there too.
David, let me ask you a question. As many of our listeners, they're at churches, and some of them are at small churches in North Mississippi. Why should a church prioritize sending their pastor or a delegate of their choosing to the Southern Baptist Convention?
So I believe you should, in a similar way to Americans voting. Do all Americans vote? No. We all know people who don't vote. They don't go out and vote in local elections or state elections or even national elections. And I think Americans should vote. I also think that Southern Baptist churches should send their pastors to the SBC to vote. Well, you might hear us say, well, in 1881, there were only 247 messengers, and today there might be 15,000 messengers. What's one vote? Okay, one vote makes a big difference. It really does. And what I appreciate of the Southern Baptist Convention is typically the votes are usually overwhelmingly yes or overwhelmingly no, depending on what the idea is. But I think it is good for us to go and say, I voted for, or I voted against. And we go as representatives of our church, and we help give, even though it's small, but we help give direction to the current state of Southern Baptists.
I think it's good for a church to send their pastor or a delegate, because that person becomes a liaison, right?
Yes.
For, in some way, for the church to the convention, but also the convention to the church.
Yeah, that's right.
You're going to hear and see exactly what happens during the convention. And when the news begins to report, Southern Baptist did this or did that, well, your pastor was there and you can just ask him.
That is correct. You know, Thomas, the typical conversation about what happens at the SBC is just a small conversation between someone who hears something, usually a news organization. I recall last year, so I did at First Baptist Church on a Wednesday night. I took a Wednesday night after the SBC, and I just gave an overview of my recollection, what I remembered, and what April and I recalled from the SBC. And I hit a few things. One of those was in response to what someone had asked me. There's a family at our church. They have three biological children. Their quiver is being filled with children. But at last year's SBC, we voted on something regarding in vitro fertilization, IVF. And this family who has biological children, the natural way, came and said, hey, we're concerned. What was the IVF recommendation of Southern Baptists? And I spoke from experience, and it was a week ago that I was in the session that presented it. And I said, what I remember is we as Southern Baptists want people to be mindful. If you're doing IVF, we didn't say, yes, you ought to do IVF, or no, you shouldn't do IVF. We said, let's be respectful and let's be mindful about eggs, sperm, fertilization, life.
Right.
Let's be respectful. You know, we don't understand everything about it, and neither you nor I are medical doctors, but even a medical doctor doesn't understand everything about IVF. And so the call was for Christian believers to be respectful concerning IVF. And that was on the heart of one of our families at First Baptist. And so in the overview of the SBC, I even mentioned that on the Wednesday night. And a lot of times, the Southern Baptist Convention, as we gather together, we don't have all the answers. We gather together and we make decisions to the best of our ability with the information we have at that time. And so at that time, last year, with IVF, we wanted to say, hey, this is a big deal, and let's be mindful of what God would want us to do concerning IVF.
I've got a question for you, and you just, if you don't want to answer it, you just kick it. You just say, I don't want to answer it right now. I want to think about it.
Yeah.
When is a soul created?
Oh, you know, that is a very good question. I think about that often. Even recently, I don't know if you watched, during the IVF process, there's a video I watched on YouTube. My wife actually sent it to me. But there is a video about the IVF process. When the sperm connects with the egg, there is a blast of light. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that.
It is shocking. It is a blast of light. I've not done much more work than to simply see that, but I'm thinking, is that when the soul goes into the person?
I think that is when a soul is created. Yeah. And I'm using that word created. I heard what you said. You said when the soul goes into that person. I don't think a soul exists before that. I don't think a soul is eternal. I think there is a moment.
I agree.
A moment when the soul is created. I don't think we have past life that we just don't know about.
The eternal life that we can experience is future with Jesus, not past. I completely agree with you.
Yes. So I think that is when a soul is created. And so with the IVF process, and I know this is a different topic. This is ethical topic, really. But I think with IVF, what concerns me is they take 20 eggs and fertilize all of them. And if I'm correct that a soul is created at fertilization, then you got 20 souls that's being frozen.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're right. And that one day may be discarded.
Yes.
And we would view that as, at least murder, if not neglect, neglectful homicide, you know, something like that is how we would view that.
It would be definitely challenging. So I think the pastor gets to be liaison between the SBC and the congregation and the congregation to the SBC. Let me ask you this. Why do you attend?
Yeah. So I attend.
I know why I attend.
Why do you attend?
Because it is really one of the best spiritual conferences that you can go to. It is refreshing.
Yeah.
Because you get to hear preaching that you normally wouldn't get to hear. You get to see the IMB commission missionaries. You get to hear all the great stories about how the SBC is impacting lives. But then on top of that, you get to rub shoulders with the people in the hallway and talk to them. You and I usually spend, our families usually spend some time together and go out to eat. And so there's good fellowship, but it's also spiritually rewarding.
Yes, I agree. So I wrote down a word before we even started this that I wanted to bring out, and I wrote down the word recharged. You usually leave refreshed and recharged to go back at it. And like you said, you get to hear some great preaching, fantastic singing. There's a choir, the musicians, dude, it is top notch. The president's address, this year will be Clint Presley. It is usually really good stuff. And so, yes, you leave recharged. And I recall the first time that we went to an SBC, seeing the commissioning of the IMB missionaries. Dude, I don't know that I'll make it through that without crying. It is so good. They start out with people just like me and you who are going to areas that are not that difficult, but it ends with people where they can't even share their name and they can't even be photographed.
They usually have them behind like a screen.
Behind a screen, you can't even see them because they're going to countries where they would be beheaded if what they're doing is found out. And it is with such respect that I view that, and it is so jarring because I am so blessed and have lived such a cushy little Southern Baptist life. And to see people who are literally going into places where they may be killed, it is shocking to see that.
And they have families.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes they have children, and their children are being put into those dangerous places as well. Man. They're willing to give their life and their families to be missional for the gospel so that other people who are going to hate them and kill them if they find out, would know Jesus and be saved.
Yeah, that's right. And so we get to see those. It is powerful. And I would say at every Southern Baptist Convention, there's 50, maybe 75 people that we're able to see, you know, that go through the commissioning process. It is amazing to see that, to be part of that.
One of the questions we asked earlier, why should your church prioritize sending their pastor or a delegate to the Southern Baptist Convention? It's a lot of money. It is an expense that goes with it, but the church is going to reap the benefits of that.
They will. You want your pastor to be in the know. You want your pastor to feel part of something that is bigger than just the church that he serves. There is so much more than just serving the church. And some churches might say, well, we don't care about anything that's going on over there or with anyone else. No church is an island and no pastor is an island. And so whenever a pastor is able to go to the SBC, he is able to see what other people are doing, what other churches are doing, what other pastors are doing. And even he can take that back to the churches in his association, the DeSoto Tate Association, the Union Baptist Association. There are some brothers who aren't able to go there bivocational. They can't take a week off, or they can't be sent by their church. Maybe it's a smaller church. And we can go back and help encourage those brothers that you're not alone. You are in this together, and we are fighting the fight. Was it Elijah in the Old Testament who said, God, I'm the I'm sure he's Southern, you know, God, I'm the only one. My knee is not bent to Baal. And God's like, man, you ain't the only one. There's thousands more that are right there with you. And at this SBC, we get to see we're not the only ones. There are thousands more with us.
I think it's just a small investment. You're looking at $1,000 to $2,000 that a church could very affordably probably send their. I mean, it can be more than that, obviously, but you could do it for that amount.
Yeah. Yeah.
And their pastor is going to come back recharged. It's not a vacation. It's not him using his vacation time, but your pastor is going to come back recharged for ministry.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there are stipulations to where the meeting can be held. A city has to be of a certain size. They have to have a certain number of restaurants within walking distance, because usually there's about a 2-hour lunch break, and there has to be enough around there. Do you remember a few years ago, did you go to the one in Nashville? I think it was like 2021 or 2022. Did you go to that one in Nashville? You went to the one in Birmingham. I remember us, yes, us being at the one in Birmingham. The one in Nashville was terrible. Nashville was not big enough. And that's that people say, Nashville. The downtown area next to the convention center was not big enough. They had to bring in food trucks. I remember Mark Robbins and I stood in line at a food truck, I want to say for 2 hours or for an hour and 45 minutes. It was ridiculous. Our wives saved our seats while we waited and waited. We were probably 100, 120 people back in line to finally where we got up and got our order and got our food.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible. So there are only certain cities that are big enough, honestly, to house 20,000 people within driving or walking distance, and to then have enough restaurants for 20,000 guests to show up during that week. It is crazy. You mentioned something earlier that's a lot of fun. And we do. We usually connect with you guys. So my phone, I have an iPhone, and my phone usually picks up pictures from the past. And there is a picture that often comes up. And we were at a Southern Baptist Convention in Dallas, Texas, and our families were walking around together. And we put on cowboy hats. You and I did.
We went into a boot store. I remember that. Yeah. And we were just looking around, and we were like, look at these hats, and put them on. And
that's right.
Wives took a picture.
That's it. Well, I don't remember which one. And it pops up occasionally. It is so funny.
I've seen it.
So that's what's so good. So usually during those 2-hour lunch breaks, you get together with buddies and then you walk somewhere, usually just walk a couple blocks. You eat, you take your time strolling back, and you're back in your seats by the time that everything starts again.
Some of it's fun to watch too, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, isn't it ever? What's your favorite part? I'll tell you one of my favorites, but you go ahead first.
One of my favorite parts is when the ERLC is going to give their report.
Make a motion, we disband the ERC and ERLC and kill every one of them.
Oh, I'm telling you, there's such a hatred for the ERLC. Hey, but let me just say, the guy
Yeah.
Who is being, who just got elected as president.
Leno? Is that his name?
Evan Leno. Yeah.
Yeah, Leno. Yeah.
He's a great guy. All right. So I do know him personally. He's a great guy. That's a great pick. And I'm excited for the ERLC.
Me too. So I have never voted to disband and shoot the members of the ERLC. I've never, because I think it is a good agency. And I think we as Southern Baptists need a voice ethically. Now, I understand there have been previous leaders of the ERLC, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, who have voiced things that were not in line, potentially not in line with Scripture, definitely not in line with the tenor of modern SBC pastors. But I think this dude's going to be a good dude.
Yeah, he is. So is it the introduction of the motions? Is that what you're...
All right, so I love the introduction of motions, what April and I call open mic time. I love it.
Yes.
So, dude, all right, so we got a buddy, Jonathan Greer. We have a buddy, Jonathan Greer. Well, I love Jonathan. Jonathan, a pastor down in South Mississippi. He's pastor in Alabama, pastor in Mississippi. All right, let me go ahead and say it. Jonathan's sharp. Jonathan's mind is much sharper. Your mind is much sharper than mine. When I see Jonathan Greer at the mic, I always take my phone out, take a picture of it, send it to him, you know, because it's just, but he will go up there and will argue something every single convention. He will say, you know, this shouldn't have been stated thus and such. It should have been blah, blah, blah. And I love it. Man, you couldn't pay me to do that. But he loves doing that.
I think he intentionally sits so that he will be on camera at certain microphones.
Because he's grinning all the time and waving. Yes, that's Jonathan. Oh, it's hilarious. Dude, the other day, did you see him at Blue Mountain College for MA Day? Did you say he done got him a haircut, man? His hair was short. His beard, which is usually much longer, it was short. He had a shortcut beard, shortcut hair. He had his son with him. Man, Jonathan looking apart. He's gonna be nominated to be something at the SBC. What is it? The recording secretary?
That's
he's
right.
gonna be nominated to be recording secretary. So we ate lunch together that day. I said, Greer, I said, be honest with me. Are you being nominated just so you can't go to a microphone and talk?
Wait, that reminds me. I am sitting with SBC royalty right now.
Who just walked in? Who walked in?
So. Well, the chairman of the Tellers Committee is seated right across from me.
Dude, you are right about that. I am so excited. I don't exactly know how that happened, but I am very thankful.
They plan on shooting whoever that is. That's why.
So April and I served on the Tellers Committee last year, and it was a lot of fun. And I was asked to chair it this year. And dude, a dream of mine came true not long ago. I was sitting up front with our staff at First Baptist Church, and my phone, I received a text message of someone who works for the Baptist Press wanting to interview me about the work of the Tellers Committee. So I've always wanted to be on the Baptist Press, you know, in an article of the Baptist Press.
In a good way.
In a good way. I didn't have to be arrested to get on the Baptist Press. So yeah. So it is an honor, and it's actually a lot of fun to count the ballots, to count all ballots or paper ballots. You count them by hand. Actually, each ballot is counted twice to secure that the ballot count was correct. And it was a lot of fun we had last year, and we're looking forward to this year also. Well, Thomas, this has been a lot of fun. Man, talk about the Southern Baptist Convention. I am really looking forward to it. And buddy, next week we will see you in Orlando. And I hope to see our listeners on our next Ministry Marks podcast.